when the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Traces of Reality. I am your host, Guillermo Jimenez, and joining me today is Pierce Redman of PorkinsPolicyReview.com, and we have, of course, Sibel Edmonds, the owner and publisher of BowlingFrogsPost.com, and all of us members of the newly formed NewsBud.com, and that's what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about NewsBud, this new creative news outlet that's going to be coming out very, very soon. And Sibel, I want to give you the floor here to kind of introduce what the subject is, what we're talking about. We got a couple of things you want to discuss about NewsBud and what sets it apart as this new media platform. So what can you tell us?
Well, thank you, Guillermo. Of course, we have covered this topic and we have talked about some of the macro elements of this this incredible new media platform, this new media project that we are trying to make that dream basically reality. We touched upon the fact that we are going to be 100% publicly funded, and no advertisement, no sugar daddies from the billionaire dynasty foundations, Rockefeller, Soros, etc. We have talked about the importance of independence, and we have, of course, emphasized, and we have been emphasizing that with Boiling Frogs Post for the past 7 years, the importance of this nonpartisan element. And I know a lot of people use that slogan, we are objective news organization and we are nonpartisan. And but when you really get down to it and look at many of these so-called alternative channels, it reeks with partisanship. Maybe with ideologues. I mean, no matter what, it's like we're going to stand on the left, or no matter what, we are going to look at things from the right. So we talked about all that. We had a great show with James Corbett, Corbett Report. We had a great, actually, we had two great discussions with Peter B. Collins. We had Pepe Escobar as a guest, and we had Peter B. Collins, and we also had Bill Conroy. I think today we want to talk about a little bit more detailed elements within what we have in mind. And I think a great starting point would be talking about what do we mean by investigative journalism with integrity, okay? And because that is our tagline, where media integrity matters. And it applies to everything. It applies to our productions, our videos, our podcasts, everything. But most importantly, it applies to our investigative reports, to present to people untainted. I mean, a lot of people, again, use word, oh, bias-free. I get kind of upset. I'm like, there is no such a thing as bias-free. We all come with our own set of, you know, biases, even if we may do it unconsciously, you know, we may do it subconsciously, we may do it without realizing, you know, it's our culture, it's our background, it's our family, it's our schooling. I mean, we all come with a set of biases. How are we going to balance that in terms of balanced view? To me, is one way to overcome that, meaning not be a platform for the right or the left or the pink or the blue or the red. So this is a good session. I think this is a really good time. We are only 2 weeks away to launch our Kickstarter. And this is a good time for us, the three of us, talk about what we really talk about. We as first-year NewsBud partners and associates, when we say we are going to have investigative journalism and these productions with integrity.
A couple of things that I want to just touch on that you mentioned, Sibel. First of all, I introduced NewsBud in the opening as a given fact that it's happening, and because in my mind it is. But I should clarify for listeners and viewers of Traces of Reality that are may not be familiar yet with the project, that as Sibel just clarified just now, that it is something that we are crowdfunding for. The crowdfunder on Kickstarter will launch February 14th on Valentine's Day. So show your love and show your support for true alt media. And support NewsBud.com once that Kickstarter launches on February 14th. Pierce, now, what I want to get your thoughts on what Sibel just said about two things, actually. Media integrity within the alt media as a sort of broad issue, which it's a kind of a it's kind of a landmine in and of itself. But also the bias issue, I think, is a really good one. I have my own thoughts on that as well. But I'm almost certain you and I have talked about this previously on either a podcast or a video. The idea of bias-free news, or the idea of objective journalism as a sort of concept. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I guess it. I think inevitably it's impossible to be bias-free. You know, by the very nature of writing about a particular topic, that's all, you already have a bias. You want to expose this, or you want to talk about this. So already immediately you're entering into some sort of bias, you know, zone or what have you. But I think in more broadly speaking, the alternative media, especially, and we've definitely talked about this, Guillermo, and I think I've also talked about it with Sibel. It's become so factionalized into this sort of the pseudo sort of liberal do-gooder alternative media that very much kind of walks on eggshells around the big sort of topics. And then on the other side is this very scary right-wing, reactionary, racist kind of apocalyptic sort of stream as well, and that is entering more and more. And this is seemingly people that I used to listen to and respect, a couple months even ago. Suddenly, they sound frightening. Hitler was a misunderstood, guy, and the
tortured,
Muslims are
tortured
all evil.
Artist he was.
Yeah, tortured artist, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, this has become very in vogue lately, and I think the business model for how alternative media is going forward, particularly within the last year or so, is based upon that. This is how you fund your particular show. Mm. This is how you attract viewers. This is how you attract the so-called big-name guests, these psychos like David Duke, who's making the rounds and all of the big alt-media platforms. So I think because of the sort of factionalization that's going on in the political spectrum, this trickles down into the alternative media. And now suddenly we have a business model, not to get all economics on that, but this business model where very much if you want to create revenue, if you want to create content, if you want to have the resources with which to make something beyond just, me in my room with a microphone and just, a small podcast, suddenly you have to appeal to this very biased, many times just sort of outright insane viewpoints. And many of these people, I don't even know if they really truly buy into it, or if this is just, this is how I'm going to make money. And then that becomes, all of the news that you produce then becomes a part of that. It all becomes, it's all about, the Muslims are invading. It's all about, the secret homosexual cabal that wants to, indoctrinate all of us and send us to war on behalf of the reptilian Zionists. That becomes the sort of model, and it there's just such a it makes news almost from these people irrelevant. They're not really reporting on the news, and what they're really doing is they're not. And this is something that we've all talked about this for a while in the alternative media. There is no real investigating going on. Obviously, I personally think me and Guillermo and Sibel and James and Tom Secker, everybody we work with, I think we do actually do investigative work. But it's obviously on a small scale. But instead, we see with these bigger outlets, these so-called truth tellers, that there is no more real investigating, and instead it's regurgitating the same sort of ideas and memes over and over again, and essentially just sort of tapping into this. This feeling of disenfranchisement or mediocrity that a lot of people harbor in the back of their mind, and kind of getting people all riled up, be it the left or the right. I think we see this particularly with the sort of the more right winger kind of alternative media, and it's just all bias, and there is no investigating. And then there, of course, they build up these sacred cows, be they a particular idea, a piece of the Constitution, that they you know prefer over all other things, or individuals. You know, we see there's a lot of these sort of individuals that kind of pop out of nowhere and they become these sort of golden gods that we're not allowed to talk about, and they just sort of keep pushing that over and over and over again, and it's really sad because there's no investigating of those people. There's no investigating of the movement itself. Are there issues within this? Should we be promoting these sort of ideas? Unfortunately, I think it people have sort of tuned out. You know, I'm sure everyone in the alternative media is very quick to point to, oh, well, you know, if you watch MSNBC, then you're just a Democrat who doesn't give a shit. If you watch, you know, Fox, well, you're just a conservative asshole. If you watch CNN, you're sort of, I don't know, some, you know, asexual.
In the middle of the road, right?
Yet most of the alternative media is no longer willing to listen to a slightly different perspective. You've got to follow this very short list of things or else. And I think that's why I'm excited about NewsBud, in that, I mean, we were just sort of, before we were recording, we were sort of, you know, calmly disagreeing with one another on certain topics. And that's ultimately a positive thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And furthermore, I think it's just there is a balance there. And all of us are so disgusted with this sort of factionalized news where you're on this side or you're on that side and that's it. And all of us really want to explore new ways of doing investigating and actually doing investigations into people. Because there's a distinct lack of that all over, you know? It's quite troubling, but it's also, I'm quite optimistic about this as well.
Guillermo, how about you?
Yeah.
You are going to be with this both in terms of a, you know, journalist, researcher, but also producer. Mm-hmm. And most of your work involves investigative work. And how do you see, I mean, what would you say that differentiates between our model and whatever we have been seeing out there?
Well, Pierce hit on a couple of things. And one of them, I think, is very important, because I do think the economics of this really does tie into what we're talking about, because I think that ultimately that does, for better or worse, drive a lot of the coverage that we see in media broadly, not just alt media, but media as a whole. But within the alt media, absolutely, and as you were describing these individuals, one name kept recurring. We don't want to alienate anybody today. But there was one name in particular that kept coming to mind. A couple of different things again. So on the economics of it, with a platform like NewsBud that's completely reader supported, it's going to be supported by the people that are consuming the news and the information. I mean, I'm trying to think of another example of an alt media outlet that is totally 100% reader supported. I'm having a hard time doing it because you usually see either it's a foundation funded sort of outfit through a nonprofit sort of proxy, or it's a sugar daddy operation where it's like, you know, a person with just a ton of money willing to just kind of like, well, I was gonna say throw away, but you know, invest in whatever kind of media project they're looking to do with that money. Or you have some other, you know, advertising, these dinosaur models that don't work for the internet age at all, that are on the way out. The advertising models don't work anymore, in my opinion anyway. And so you have these things that have been tried, and they all have inherent problems. They all have inherent sort of the challenges that come with that. With a reader-supported platform, there's no you know ambiguity as to who we are answering to, because you're going to have that with outlets that are funded, especially if they're funded by, you know, angel donors or foundation. You don't really know exactly where that money is coming from, and so they could have the very best of intentions. They could be producing top quality stuff, but there's that doubt. There's always going to be like, well, you know, I don't know. But again, with a reader-supported platform, it's completely either donation-based or subscription-based. You know exactly what you're getting. You know who you're dealing with. And you know who you're, even as a journalist, as a person who's producing the content, you know who you are responding to. You're responding to your readers. You're responding directly to the people that you're trying to reach. And so it's a very symbiotic sort of relationship. It's the ideal platform. If you can pull it off, and I believe that we can, and that's the entire point of that, is to have this sort of platform that, again, I if someone's got, someone can prove me wrong and tell me, you know, point one out, but I can't think of one, honestly. I still can't. Yeah.
I guess that the stupidest one is like David Icke's The People's Voice.
Oh, it's, oh, okay.
You know, not, failed
not,
miserably
not too familiar with
for
that.
A variety of reasons.
not super surprised.
You know, yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that was designed to fail from the beginning. Yeah. Obviously none of us are like David Icke or any of the people that he recruited into this ridiculous operation. And of course he took all that money and kind of, you know, ran away with it. So
need to fill me in on some of that a little bit after the guy. I'm not familiar with that whole story. That's interesting. Mm. Wow. Well, okay. Well, coming back to something you mentioned also that both of you mentioned, that all three of us have mentioned so far, that I wanted to touch on, which is the bias, because like the both of you, I completely in agreement that there is really no such thing as bias. I mean, bias-free media. My whole thing with that is I always like and appreciate and gravitate towards people and journalists and outlets that are very upfront with their bias. This is what my bias is. This is what, that's all I ask, is that if you're honest about what your bias is, and don't try to feed me this line about how I'm fair and balanced and I'm just giving you the truth. And no, you're not. You're giving me your perspective. Be honest with that. And just, I keep repeating the same word, but that to me is the key, is honesty. Is that I think that, being truthful, being honest, that is what ties all of this together. Because we can have disagreements. We can disagree on this, that, or the other, but we all know we're coming from the right place. And we can have ideological differences with various contributors that are going to be part of the project. I can find common ground with free market capitalists, libertarians, socialists, whatever it might be. I can find common ground with anyone when they're being honest, when they're being truthful, and coming from that good place. And also on the topic of bias, something else that I know we've talked about that I come back to quite a bit is that confirmation bias, because that again goes back to the economics of it all. Because you are going to want to, if you're part of this, one of these like factional sort of media outlets, and you're playing to a certain crowd, you're going to keep feeding them what they want. They want that sort of, sensational, outlandish, ISIS is going to plant a flag on the White House, or they're coming to get you, like, they're at the border, I saw them yesterday. Yeah, sure that you did. Okay. So they want to hear that, you want to give it to them, and the people who are coming to your website, they want to keep receiving that. And so it's this vicious loop that keeps sort of feeding itself. And so there's a lot of that. There's too much of that. And again, there needs to be an alternative to that. An alternative to the alternative media. How's that for a tagline? So that's actually what I feel like this is. So I don't know if you'd agree with that, Sibyl. What do you think?
No, I think that was, I couldn't disagree with a single point. And as we emphasized, no, that we can't find anybody who is unbiased. You can neutralize bias by bringing multiple perspective, and that's exactly what you just said. Meaning, when people come to this media outlet, to let's say NewsBud, and they see, let's say in one of the current topics, okay, is this the Bundy and the standoff in Burns, Oregon?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's only 1.5 hours from where I live, and to be able to get multiple perspectives, because perspectives from the militia side. And again, people like to throw everyone in a certain group in one bucket, and they don't understand how fragmented these movements are in on every side, whether it's libertarians, some people, they say, well, I'm a Tea Party libertarian. No, I'm the anarcho-capitalist libertarian.
I'm an anarchist.
Not the same. And we don't like the other ones because you are not the real libertarian. Right. We are the real libertarian. Well, the same dynamic exists within militia movement. But what you see on the mainstream media and all these pseudo-alternative out there, you see many of them putting all these people, all militia movement in one bucket, which is absolutely wrong. They want to portray everyone within the militia movement as the skinhead, foul talking, I don't know. What are the other characteristics? Just stereotypical, you know, stereotypical. Well, that's not true. I have spoken with so many people from that movement that who are extremely articulate, rational, well-read, and they are absolutely against all these discrimination and racism. And I have seen many, I don't want to give percentage, that are exactly the other category, the stereotypical militia. But then you look at the portrait, because you look at the coverage, everything with these people, with this movement, is covered through the same lens, through the same tunnel, very, very, very narrow lens. And that's wrong. So if we are reporting, we are going to report with interviewing some of the people, you know, as part of this movement, okay? Give them the platform to talk about what's going on and why it's going on and what is happening in there and what are those divisive issues within the movement itself. And also, maybe we will have some analysts from the left coming and saying why they believe this particular thing is self-defeating. But you present the readers with all these different biased, okay, perspective, and then the reader gets the opportunity, has the chance. This is why I call it empowering media. Let the reader look, read, use their own biases and common sense and decide what they believe it is. Or at least to say, I really feel informed because I looked at it from multiple perspectives and I was exposed to facts without all the distortions that go with that. And this was just one example. The same dynamics applies to almost any topic you want to bring up, any topic. And again, this is going to be one of the unique features of this our media organization, NewsBud. And yes, we are going to have people who have libertarian perspectives, and there, I know there are many of us there, and people who are, you know, they are liberal-leaning, left-leaning. We have right-leaning people. We are going to have some people who identify with, you know, freedom-fighting, decent, good militia movement. And we are going to have people from Middle East. We are going to have people from Europe. We are going to have one person we are speaking with from China, and have all these offered in one side. So it's not like, oh, I would like to get this confused look when you ask somebody and say, well, NewsBud, what are they, right or left? And they're going to be like, I really can't tell you because they have this, but on the other hand, they're bashing that. And this is one of the things we have maintained with Boiling Frogs Post. If you were to ask anyone, you would not get the same answer. Are we left? Are we right? Are we libertarian? They're going to tell you that we present all those perspectives and nothing is sacred to us. Because even, let's say, with us, some of us who are kind of libertarian leaning, I supported Ron Paul in 2008. I like him. We have talked about this.
Yeah.
But then when he got that whatever legal counsel, Bruce Fine, I was the first one to come and bash that choice and put the facts and say it's wrong. And this is, instead of saying, well, I'm not going to write about this because then they're going to get pissed. I like Ron Paul. If I do that, I'm going to damage their movement. No, you just put out the facts and say, we don't go ahead and mark certain topics, either because of political correctedness or if it's because of whatever reason, and say, that's a sacred area and let's not go there. I would say, let's dive into it. Let's just dive into it and let's go deep in there. That's exactly what it is to search for really facts and the truth.
Mm. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with that. No, I think that that's a really good point, that you really can't, if you're going to engage in truthful, honest journalism, you can't have these kind of sacred cows, these kind of taboo topics that you just won't touch. Even things that I find personally ridiculous or like I won't even get into. But we've talked about it before.
You know something? No, no, Guillermo, seriously. Yeah. Pierce, I know we had this thing, we're not going to name drop here.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Pierce did it 3 times. I've been counting because I've been dying to drop names at the South Century here. He did 3, so you have 1. You
no, I wasn't even going to drop a name. I was going to drop a topic, an issue, which is I was thinking to myself, what are the issues that to me are taboo? And it's not taboo. I just, there's the whole crisis actor meme is one that I get personally annoyed by, but I still considered it when it was first, you know, presented to me. I still took the time to think about it and like give it some serious thought. realized it was bullshit and moved on. But you know, there's still no sacred cows. There's still no taboos in my mind, and so that I think again is good to be not just good. It's necessary to be honest and truthful about stuff like that. So on that note, well, one quick thing before I move on to that point. Which is the idea once again, the example you brought up was perfect, the Bundy situation in Oregon and the way that that's presented through different spectrums, whether it's a left leaning alt media site or a right leaning alt media site or media in general, it doesn't matter. You can tell right away what the bias is and the way they present a story like that. But it's not just that story, of course. It's every story. It's always told through a particular narrative, through a particular prism. And that's why I think it's so beneficial to have a wide variety, as you mentioned, a wide variety of people, of opinions, of viewpoints on a certain issue, on shows like this, discussing something like that, or any issue, to get at that variety of opinion and that variety of perspective. Otherwise, you're just feeding that confirmation bias, and that's not a good thing ultimately. But on the note of sacred cows. There is one particular story, so this will be your chance to unload.
Yes, no way.
There is one particular story that we want to raise today, and I'm going to let you guys give the background. I'll just introduce the recent news story that brought this up to or brought that resurfaced this name, and that is a BuzzFeed story. It's the headline is CIA's Queen of Torture Married to Former CIA Official Who Urges War Between Sunnis and Shiites. That's a lot more than that, but that is one thing that this man does. so yeah, let me throw it to Pierce, because we haven't even heard from you in a bit. So if you want to give us a little bit of background in this story, and then we'll get into how this ties into what we're talking about as far as sacred cows and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I'll point out that, of course, it was our friend Christoph who pointed me and Sibel to this article. And that's because Christoph always sends us the best articles on Twitter constantly. credit to him. But yeah, essentially, this is Alfreda Frances Bukowski is this woman's name. She is, as you said, the Queen of Torture. I personally was somewhat unfamiliar with her in her role at Alex Station, which was the Bin Laden station in the CIA. I knew her because she's, of course, the main inspiration. Yeah, she is the Jessica Chastain character in Zero Dark Thirty. This is a woman who personally took part in torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. She rendered and tortured this innocent guy, Al-Masri, who was a German national who was in, I believe it was in Macedonia on vacation. They picked him up in the middle of the day off a bus. They rendered him to Afghanistan, where they tortured him for 5 months when she knew that he had no information, and then went and lied to Congress saying, oh, he was a gold mine, he was all this stuff. So I knew her through that. And then when Christoph pointed out that, oh, well, she's married to Michael Scheuer, I was instantly like, whoa, this is... There's got to be more to this, because Scheuer is this very interesting character who, of course, is sort of seen as a whistleblower. I can personally say that I got into a lot of the alternative media through Michael Scheuer. I read his book when I got out of college, which is Osama Bin Laden. This is his most recent book, which is all about his time there, where basically, of course, nothing was his fault. The CIA was amazing. It was all Bill Clinton and Richard Clark that dropped the ball, and that he was great, you know. Nothing to see here, folks, that sort of a thing. But one thing that he talks about quite a bit in his book are these sort of these so-called intelligence failures that were allegedly, according to him, it was the FBI, because they couldn't read our computers. Now, lo and behold, when you start looking into his now wife, Alfreda Frances Bukowski, who he claims he married in 2014, right, you find out, she was actually brought into Alex Station by Michael Scheuer in the 1990s. She was worked right below him. Then the more you start digging in, you see, this the major intelligence failure that even the mainstream media fully admits, which is a footnote 44 if you read the 9/11 Commission. It's this tiny little footnote where it says, Oh, by the way, so there was this huge Al-Qaeda summit in Kuala Lumpur where everybody, you know, anyone who's anybody in Al-Qaeda was there. And one of these guys that was there is Khalid al-Mihdhar, who's one of the 9/11 hijackers. Oh, well, lo and behold, the CIA goes in when he's flying from Dubai, I think, back to Kuala Lumpur from somewhere. The CIA goes into his hotel room. Oh, and they find out, oh, damn, this guy's got a visa. He's got multiple entry visa to go to the United States. Now, when Alex Station receives this information, an FBI agent, Doug Miller, who was assigned to the CIA station, he's, oh, shit, you know, we got to get this guy. He starts drafting a memo. Well, it gets stopped by this woman, Michelle Ann Casey. Who's her boss? Well, that's Bukowski. So she stops us and says, when we want the FBI to know about this, we'll let them know about this, okay? So just, you didn't see this, drop. Then Bukowski herself goes and said, she circulates a memo saying that she did send it to the FBI and then lied to Congress and the 9/11 Commission when she said, oh, well, I hand-delivered that to the FBI. When the FBI says, we never got that, oh, well, maybe I faxed it. So to kind of make a long story short here, we have Michael Scheuer, the king of, oh, it's all an intelligence failure, that was not our fault. His wife is the intelligence failure. She deliberately went out of her way to completely obscure, and it's an it, you know, it's a fascinating look. You know, there's a great audio documentary, Who is Richard Blee, which gets into all of this sort of thing, and you can actually see how an intelligence failure really operates. But essentially, we have this guy Michael Scheuer, who will you know, he most recently said we should foment a war between Sunnis and Shia because they love killing each other more than they love killing you know, Americans. So, you know, why not go for that? But he has made the rounds in the alternative media and in the mainstream media as well as this sort of expert, this sort of pundit, because, well, he headed the Bin Laden station, and, you know, he knows everything. And he also sort of touts himself as this, oh, I'm a non-interventionist. You know, he attaches himself to Ron Paul. He attaches himself to anybody that he can, you know, get his chubby little fingers on.
Yeah.
And but what he does is he fills you with these sort of, oh, yeah, right, maybe we shouldn't be bombing all these countries. At the
but
same time.
The most important question, Pierce. Mm. Who made the name Alfredo Bukowski public for the first time in this country and exposed her?
Oh, well, it was, I mean, there's the Who is Richard Blee documentary. And you also, yourself.
No, they took that. They were good as journalists. What is the guy's name? Nowalski?
Yeah, John Duffy and Ray, I think.
These two guys are doing a great job. And they got their hands in some of the documents and information outing Bukowski. But what happened was before they published this information, they got the letter, threat letter from the CIA saying, you publish this, you're going to go to jail, we're going to prosecute you. So they decided they were not going to do that. And because we had some sort of a side partnership with them, I persuaded them to find a way so I get my hands on some of those. So I went ahead with as Boiling Frogs Post in 2011, 5 years ago, I published this, okay? They were not going to put it out there. And what CIA was doing was an absolute bluff because I checked with three attorneys and they said they can't make it stick. You can't publicize it. In fact, the name was known to the mainstream media and the same kind of a bluff worked with the mainstream media. So we published that. We ran that. And the only three outlets that did this was us, number one. After us, it was James Corbett and it was Cryptum. And later, Gawker took it from us and they published it and they did a good job. And even we stuck our neck out there to engage in journalism and expose this queen of torture and everything. All the so-called pseudo-alternatives that I contacted because I knew their editors, I sent it to them. I said, we need your backing. We want hundreds of sites covering it. We don't want it to be only exclusive to us because they're going to have a much harder time to come after 150 blog alternative news outlets. One by one, they told me they would not touch it under any circumstances and we shouldn't touch it. And I know since we promised Guillermo we were not going to get too much into details and names, but because Pierce got to use three times, I'm going to use my quota and use, I mean, I give you an example. I contacted Raw Story because at the time I had this relationship with their whatever editor. I censured myself. Here it is. Isn't it better? And again, it was just like, no way. And you're not going to do it. And then I went to the next, and I still have two left, Guillermo. I didn't name more.
Yeah,
than
no, go right ahead.
And none of them were willing to publish. We had already put it out there. See, this is what I mean by journalism with integrity, okay? And that is, I checked with three different legal experts, attorneys, about implication. Is this really in any way going to jeopardize anybody's lives? Not that I cared about this piece of garbage's life,
right.
You know? I think that woman should be roasted over open fire pit in a very, very slow roasting fashion, considering what she's done to humanity,
yeah.
Okay? I mean, this woman is what you would call a monster, you know? People, they usually refer. She's in the same category as Ted, you know. Anyhow, let's not do the name dropping. I still want to use two more. But that's what we are talking about.
Yeah.
That you do the fearless journalism, journalism with integrity, and the fact that making this public is extremely important. And lo and behold, Pierce, through you and Christoph German, I found out that Scheuer. Am I surprised at all? No, I'm not, because I knew they worked out of the same station, okay, in 1990s. So I knew that. And so she was under him, you mean literally?
I'm not
really sure. But in some fashion, she worked under him.
Right.
And this guy, as you said this guy is being... promoted by mainstream media and pseudo alternative media as expert, etc. But he's been promoted as a whistleblower. And this was one of the biggest reason I went into battle out there, keep saying, do not consider this guy whistleblower. He's a controlled opposition. He's coming there with this exact task. I have other CIA whistleblowers. I have tons of stuff on this guy. I mean, just like that woman, I mean, this guy is a bag of filth. He's a crook. He's a liar. He's a psychopath just like his wife. So what happens? You get two negatives, something positive comes out of these two mixing. I don't know. I hope they didn't breed, really, because I'm afraid of what they would put out into the world. But again, despite the fact that we made it public, we sent it to both mainstream media and the pseudo alternatives, many of them, Guillermo,
yeah.
Exposing Scheuer as a liar, as an imposter, you know, they disregarded it. And this is coming from someone who has National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, access to over 150 whistleblowers from national security. So it's not coming from someone out in the street saying, I think this guy is a crook. I'm saying, here are the list of things about this guy. And you are putting out misinformation, and that is his task. He is sent to put out misinformation, and I'm glad this came out. And my question to you is, I have been looking to see if any of these pseudo-alternative outlets have come out or have had the kahunas to come out and say, we cease, you know, cooperating and publishing this guy's article or et cetera. Have you heard of anyone doing it now that it's public?
I haven't yet. No,
I haven't.
I haven't. I'm surprised. I can't tell what I was trying to check today. Actually, like, you know, what kind of traffic this story's been getting, like how many shares and whatnot. Just to get an idea of how widespread this story has gotten. And there, you know, I'm looking at the comments section. There are not that many comments on it. And so I don't think this has really gotten out very much. Hopefully, people listen to this and spread the story around and talk about this a lot more, honestly, because it's a very, very fascinating story. Side note, this has to be the sequel to Zero Dark Thirty, right? Like, there's got to be, like, the Michael Shorter, like, character who comes in and is, like, this, like, disinfo infiltrator who's, like, shaping, you know, anyway, that's a little aside. But the bigger point here, the more serious point, frankly, here is the issue that both of you raised, Sibel, you raised the question. I think Pierce, you actually gave the answer before Sibel raised the question. I think that if we consider what both of you said, we see what's happening here. So on the one hand, Sibel, you had this guy who you were able to spot right away and said you didn't trust for various reasons, and said this guy's not acting in with good interests, you know. But at the same time, as Pierce sort of explained and I said earlier, you have also this guy who is putting himself out there as a person who is challenging the establishment that he used to work for. So that's super attractive to not just mainstream media, alt media, to just media, and just attractive to people in general. Like, here's this CIA agent who is somehow
contrary,
speaking ill of the government he used to work for. He's now saying that, you know, we shouldn't have invaded. He's not saying that we shouldn't be meddling or we should be non-interventionist. So of course, people who are pushing that non-interventionist agenda, whether it's in the alt media or the mainstream media, they're going to hitch their wagons to someone in authority who's saying the same thing, or at least something similar that they can say, look, here's this person in authority, here's the former head of the Bin Laden unit who's saying non-intervention, who's saying let's not meddle in foreign affairs, and they're going to say, well, look, this here's a guy who agrees with me. Well, if you look a little bit deeper, you start seeing other things, and now you see this, and so yeah, it becomes pretty clear what's going on here. Honestly, yeah, I would like to see some of those media outlets, both mainstream and alt, address it in one way or the other. I wouldn't totally be, what's the word I'm looking for? I wouldn't consider it a bad thing if one of these outlets even reached out to him. Hell, I interview him tomorrow if he wanted to. The name Michael Schur hasn't crossed my mind in a very long time, but I want to hear what this crazy motherfucker has to say now more than ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his perspective now means something else to people who are coming to this information for the first time. So I want to hear more from this guy, honestly. I want to see what he's got to say now that this has come out.
The reason you haven't heard much is because his biggest mission given to him by the government, the deep state, was on 9/11, because this guy popped. He popped by design, okay, by the design of that evil agency, right around the 9/11 investigation, 9/11 commission. That's how he got his fame. He put out this book, Imperial Hubris. Right. You should try to get that book and take it back, Pierce, and get your money back. I'm serious.
Yeah, no,
class action suit, because it's nothing but misinformation. And what he did was, it's this whole thing of, oh yeah, we did unholy alliances and then we paid for it because we turned our back to Afghanistan. He put all the bullshit that the deep state wanted to put, and he was a major actor, not a side actor in 9/11 cover-up, okay? Then you start tracing this garbage of a woman, and you see that's exactly everywhere you look at, you see her connections with 9/11 and 9/11 cover-up. So this alone tells you how they operate. And nothing more is going to come out, Yermo. Yeah. I think we will be covering it, as news, but I'm not going to let this story go. Mm-hmm. I did it in 2011. We stuck our neck. We are not done with this. I have this big file of stories that, because of the lack of resources, we haven't been able to really pursue and publish, because you need to have investigative reporters. You need to be able to authenticate certain documents.
Yeah.
You need to interview witnesses who under no circumstances are going to give you interview over the phone or the email, meaning I have to fly to, I don't know, Charlotte, North Carolina to meet with someone, or I may have to come to Austin, not only to have barbecue with and go and listen to some nice blues, but to also interview some people.
Yeah.
And this is what we want to do with NewsBud. We are fearless. We have access to some really solid, good legal experts. And we do consider integrity. And that's why this is in our tagline, where media integrity matters. Because I don't believe that word, the word being integrity, applies anywhere anymore. I mean, it doesn't apply any longer. Who cares about integrity? That's very old-fashioned, you know? It's too classical. You know, this is today. Who cares about integrity?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have real journalism without integrity. When they say ethical journalism, media integrity, this is what we mean. And we will be able to, with the resources, with our full-time staff, We are going to pursue all these stories that, and I know Pierce and Tom, they know already tons. So we have done a lot of that legwork. All we have to do is bring it to fruition.
So one thing I wanted to ask you before we round this out, before we close out, because I think we're probably going to wrap it up here pretty soon.
Yes.
But first of all, the word integrity is actually perfect, because I kept repeating earlier, truthfulness, honesty, but that really sums up what it is I'm trying to say, that underlying value that sort of ties this all together. But on that note, to round this out, and this is a question for either one of you, both of you, on that note of sort of navigating that sort of tricky water of again, addressing, I don't want to keep calling them sacred cows, but addressing these figures who come forward as authority figures on a particular issue, like a Michael Shore or whoever it might be. And we have this sort of mentality these days. I may have said this already, I don't want to get too repetitive, but my point with all this is that, again, we have this sort of innate desire to go towards these figures. I think that probably the best example around today has to be Edward Snowden, right? There's no better example of sort of a whistleblower, in quotes, turned media celebrity, turned, you know, just fucking guru, all around guru, who's gives opinions on just about everything. Who, I mean, and so, but that's, I think that's a product of the media age that we live in. And I'm very curious to see whoever the next whistleblower is, this the next big one that comes out after following this.
It's about time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's almost time for another
exactly.
one. What their experience is going to be like? Again, given the Snowden effect, given what's happened as a result of that, the celebrity status, the fame, the notoriety. I think that's partly to do with the social media age that we live in, the information age that we live in. You didn't see this before. Probably for a variety of reasons, but I think that that's one of them. But navigating those tricky waters, how would you say NewsBud is going to do that versus other alt media or media in general? What do you think the plan is in that respect?
I'm so glad you asked this question, because when people ask me, they say, why did you start Boiling Frogs Post, our current platform? It's a very, very small, limited resources platform. I tell them, well, it all started with my organization. I put together the only real whistleblower organization in the United States. I mean, you have all these Soros-funded little bastard children of NGOs out there, and they have their board of advisors and directors, and they have a couple of poster boys or girls as whistleblowers. But in 2003, we, the whistleblowers from national security agencies, you know, which is really misnamed national security, but anyhow, that's how they refer to them, FBI and the NSA and the DIA, including TSA, you know, Department of Homeland Security. And we said, it's going to be us. It's an organization made by us, okay, for the truth, for the cause. And it's going to be managed by us. So we're not going to have all these control mechanisms over us, etc. And one of the biggest obstacles we face, of course, there were things like Congress not being responsive, courts being federal courts. There is basically no separation. And they are all in the same camp. So the courts and the Congress and the White House executive branch, they are all in the same incestuous pool. So there is no separation there. Our biggest disappointment, and that's really, really putting it mildly, was with the media. Because we met with reporters, New York Times, Washington Post. We would put together the package of information, document it, bring in witnesses who knew about the same thing. And I would say 99% of the stories were blacked out, and even by the pseudo-alternative media. Well, that led me, and starting this organization, running it for 5 years, led me to Boiling Frogs Post. I said, you know what? We have to become our own media, because then this also will act as an outlet as we grow, as we get bigger, to, they are not doing it, fine, let's make them irrelevant. We'll do it. We'll print our own story with all the necessary resources, okay? And that led us to Boiling Frogs Post, which led us to NewsBud. And we still have access, Guillermo. I have currently access, if I were to put a number on it, exact number, would be over 150 veteran whistleblowers. And these people, they still have, many of them, contacts inside. They know what's going on. They know who's doing what. They are keeping up to date, you know, again, from all these agencies. And because of the experience, you know, what does it even take to vet a whistleblower, determine
right.
that that whistleblower is genuine? Because there are so many fake ones. Oh, man, there are so many fake ones, and some of them are very good. Have you been duped? That's why I'm saying we have the experience. We learned. We had people coming and penetrating our organization. We had a former FBI undercover agent who penetrated our organization. So using the experience, using our resources, using the sources, meaning these government insider, former and current, present, we have this edge, we have this advantage that I tell you this, you won't find a single news organization, whether pseudo-alternative with tens of millions of dollars a year or a mainstream media who has the access we have with our sources, with our contacts out there, whistleblowers and their contacts. I would say that would be one of the most unmatched qualities that we're going to bring into NewsBud. And they can't wait. they really thought that we would grow as Boiling Frogs Post because, as I said, I have a big file. I have a thick file of stories that haven't been explored and completed. And the public, the people, they have the right to know. So we're going to be pursuing all that. And all this brings this perfect marriage, the access to those whistleblowers, our past experiences, and this magnificent team, which I'm just so honored to be with all these people. Just add the resources there, and I don't know if anybody can ever stop us because I understand and I know that so many people are nervous, the bad ones, the 1%ers, the 0.001%ers, but they have all the right to be nervous because, oh man, when we come, we really gonna go at it, and and there ain't nothing that's going to stop us. Mm.
If awesome. I could just jump in real quick, just to kind of fill all that out again, and again to go back to Scheuer, as Sabelle is saying, from the beginning, people at BFP, you know, Sabelle, James Corbett, were already questioning Scheuer. And just to kind of elaborate and sort of flesh that out again, Scheuer is he's just one of many. There are many of these sort of so-called whistleblowers and these infiltrators that gravitate to the alternative media, that lash themselves on. They push a bunch of seemingly positive ideas, but they, you know, they dress them up, you know, in all these great highfalutin terms. But essentially, what Scheuer pushes is non-intervention, except when I want to carpet bomb all the Muslims,
right.
You know, except when he's saying that Trump is the best bet we have to make America great again, to use Trump's own friggin', you know, slogan. So and again, I think that Scheuer represented access to a lot of alternative sites and mainstream sites, and you don't want to lose that access. You're constantly afraid. Oh well, he's not going to come back on my show. He's going to say something bad. You know, he's going to accuse me of being the disinfo agent. So people are constantly afraid of that. They're afraid of losing that. And I think that NewsBud is you know, we're not afraid. I mean, I personally know I'm not afraid because I've called out all sorts of people. I mean, Guillermo, we've talked about Matthew Van Dyke before. I mean, he threatened to sue me at one point. So I'm not really afraid of that. Yeah. So and I think that you know, Scheuer is just one little example of what can happen where you're not vetting people, where people aren't really being critical because, oh well, he's so great. This is a former CIA agent. He's in a, you know, we can have all these great stories.
Right.
We have the, you know, we have this contact now all of a sudden. So let's not look, because everything he has ever said in his life as a sort of so-called whistleblower to the alternative news, should no one should believe this because his wife was at the very center of this whole thing. So everything he has said is false. But when you're afraid to actually investigate, and I do wonder how many of you know, how many outlets or journalists out there knew full well that they were an item. You know, Scheuer claims, oh, we only married 2 years ago, but he denied. He said, I'm not going to comment on if we were lovers in the 1990s. Okay, so you know, right? So who knows? Who knows how far back that goes? And again, if you're not willing to actually do that investigation, then suddenly your entire outlet can be compromised. So I just to flesh that out and just use Scheuer as one example. And again, I think all the people, obviously Sabelle, I mean, I don't know what, you know, hashtags people before. So, I mean, that should already lend some credence. But I can say for myself and for you, Guillermo, and for everyone, I mean, I think we're all not afraid of, you know, burning down these sacred cows and taking on these people. And I think absolutely. That's why NewsBud is going to be great. But that's all. That's my two cents.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. And that gets a really good point. Again, that he's not the only one. It's one example of many. And so people don't misconstrue what you just said, what Sabelle's been saying, what I've been saying. There are a lot of really good sources out there as well. Like Sabelle was saying, there's a lot of really genuine whistleblowers, obviously. There's lots of good sources that people go to that are even, again, and it's, I to me, it's healthy to be skeptical as by default of someone who comes forward as, you know, I used to work for the CIA and now I'm going to, you know, you should be skeptical. But plenty have proven themselves to be legitimate. I can think of a couple examples, you know, Phil Girardi, for example, that was really...
he's one of very, very few exceptions.
One of the few that was really, really talking about your story early on. So that's again an example of someone who was on the inside of a very, very, should I use the word evil agency? You know, but anyway, I think that that's true. But again, I just didn't want anyone to misunderstand what we were trying to say. I think we should leave it there.
And I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
And go on record with this. We are, all of us, that's one of the common qualities we have. We are troublemakers, okay? we make troubles for those within that 0.001%. I'm talking about the deep states as far as they are concerned. I'm talking about a stellar team of troublemaker, and that's how I want to lead. With integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key word. A quick aside, I just realized for the viewers out there that my microphone was within frame the entire time, so I apologize for my unprofessionalism for the YouTube viewers out there. But anyway, yeah, I'll be sure not to do that again next time. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you guys. It's been a while. It's been way too long since the last time the three of us got together. So I hope we're going to be doing this a lot more often, and I'm looking forward to that. So thank you for doing this, for being here and talking to me. Thank you guys out there for listening and for tuning in. February 14th, mark it on your calendar. Kickstarter launch date for newsbud.com. Again, show your love, support a true alternative to the alternative media, and donate. And we're going to be talking more about this in the days and weeks to come. So this won't be the last one that we talk about. So come back, join us next time here on tracesofreality.com. Take care. Thanks for watching.
I'm gonna break my rusty cage.